This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We'll tackle all kinds of things this hour, from NATO to your kids who are kind of commies. In fact, let's dig into that one right now. Hey, Jesse, I need some advice. My wife of 21 years just died. I am sorry, my man. I promised her long ago I would not discuss politics with her children. My wife was left, but not commie. I conversed and reasoned with her to the point she was merely left of center and appreciative of my conservative politics when she died. I'm just so sorry, buddy. Anyway, my stepchildren are all adults and commies. One even works on Democrat campaigns. They are all loving and sweet to me, even though they know my politics and have offered to have me live with them to care for me as I age further, since I am in my 70s. But I don't think there's any way I could live with them, especially in a blue area, New York, Portland, so on and so forth. At some point, I would definitely break the promise accidentally or intentionally. Do I take them up on their offer and honor my wife's promise, or consider that promise died with her? Or do I risk alienation and try to bring them closer to the center like I did with their mom? And he said, help. Buddy. All right, so here's an uncomfortable talk. And it's uncomfortable because there are going to be so many people listening right now who are in the middle of this situation. But here is an uncomfortable talk. When you get older and body starts to go and your mind starts to go and you're retired, whatever, I am not a big fan of putting your folks in a home. I understand that is sometimes desired. In fact, I have a good friend. His dad insists on being in a home. He has a great home. He wants to be in it. Well, Chris, he likes the camaraderie of other older people and they do things and stuff like that. So I get it. Some older people want that. I get it. Totally get it. I believe that you are, as a child, supposed to honor your parents. As a parent, you're supposed to honor your children. And then as you get older, I am a believer that your children, or if you are a child, I believe that you have an obligation to care for your parents. This is in no way indicting you if you have put your parents in a home. Maybe that was all you could do. Maybe that's what they wanted. It's not that, but I will just tell you, for me personally, I insisted after my dad died that my mom come live with me. I insisted on it. I have told my wife the exact same thing when it comes to her parents. She still has both of her parents alive, and I'm glad they are alive. I don't think this will happen because they're probably going to go live with someone else, a different sister. It doesn't matter. I don't have to go into the personal details of it. But I said, we'll find room. They're coming to live with us. Being cared for by your family as you fade away, because we're all going to die, is a beautiful, beautiful thing that most people today in America do not get. Most people don't get that. My grandpa Hank, we lost him a few years ago. Wonderful man. My mom's dad, absolutely wonderful man. Old school farmer, Ohio, just awesome. Raised all these kids. They adored him, which tells you all you need to know. And he ended up dying in his 90s. And he died in his home, surrounded by his children. Obviously, he had medical care there because his heart was failing and everything else, but surrounded by his children, his daughter, you know, patting his head, his family caring for him. And look, there's never a perfect way to leave this life, right? All of a sudden, splattered on the highway, slow and painful. It's not easy to die in any way, and it's not easy for those around you. For me, that is as beautiful as you could possibly hope for. I probably will not have that. I assume I will not have that opportunity for myself. I assume I'm going to drop dead of a heart attack probably when I'm 65, like all Kellys do. That's just kind of how it goes. What, Chris? What? Chris said if you go in your sleep, it's pretty painless. It is, but there's something beautiful. Look, there's something great about going in your sleep. But there's also something beautiful about sharing those final moments with your children who adore you. That has to be, and I don't know, I've never done it yet, but that has to be a moment when you're sitting there, even if your mind is fading, and it usually is at that point in time, where you're looking at your kids, grown adults, and they choose to be there with you. There has to be a moment of satisfaction where, well, I'll tell you what, I certainly didn't do it perfectly, but I did something right. Here are my kids. They're here with me at the end. If you have daughters and they have volunteered to take you in and care for you, take them up on that. Look, if they turn into commie hags with you, you can always move out later. For now, there's nothing like family. Absolutely nothing like family. If they're taking you in, let them take you in. All right? All right. Jesse, as you may know, the United States alone uses over 7 billion barrels of oil every year. That's 20 million barrels a day. You being in your 40s may never have to worry about the future of energy, but the ugly truth is one day we will run out of oil. I love my supercharged F-150. If gas runs out, I'm going to have to be making running cars off of moonshine, so on and so forth. How do we, and should we, begin to tackle the oil problem proactively? I don't believe in climate sensationalism, but I do see the realities that we need to change to a renewable energy soon. I'd like to hear your perspective about this. All right, brother, so let me give you some perspective on this. And it's understandable that you would not know this simply because of the volume of propaganda around this very subject. You say we're using, I'll take your word for it, that the United States alone uses 7 billion barrels of oil every year. Okay? It's a lot. Why haven't we run out? Oil is a renewable resource. The earth itself makes more of it. And on top of that, because of the advancements in technology when it comes to shale and horizontal drilling and advancements in refining and things like that, did you know all these years the world has been running on oil? What are we going to call it? 100 years, I would say? Give or take. We'll call it a century. A century of, not America, the planet running on oil. A century of it. And we have, by a mile, more oil today than we ever have before. It's not running out. At this point in time, I hate to use, you never say never, but at this point in time, it appears to be endless supplies of it. It is a gift from God that you will never fully appreciate how it has lifted mankind, not just America, all of mankind in so many ways from the dark ages. Having affordable energy is something that is so lame to talk about, right? Who wants to talk about affordable energy? It is the reason you have the medical advancements, all the technological advancements, the reason that normal people who aren't rich by any means can live long. It is the reason they can live comfortably. It is the reason for virtually everything we see. It is endless. And actually, the attack by the communists on energy, on affordable energy, it is them attacking the bedrock of all of humanity. That's what it is. All of humanity around the globe is built on affordable energy. When the communists attack that, I have said it many times before, climate communism, it is by a mile the most deadly version of communism. that would kill more people than Stalin, Mao, Hitler, and Pol Pot combined by orders of magnitude. To take away that in pursuit of this stupid solar panel wind crap dream is genocidal beyond anything Chairman Mao could have ever dreamt of. It is. It is that level of evil. There's tons of oil, buddy. We are never running out. Not in your life, not in my life, not in my kids' lives, not in their kids' lives. We're never running out. Take heart. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. Remember, you can email us your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dome is out there making the rounds.
So are you going to run again in 28?
Okay, in all,
I tried to be subtle, but I just figured I'd go right
out. Well, that's as subtle as Reverend Al Sharpton could ever be. We love you for many things, but not being subtle. Listen, I might. I'm thinking about it.
She's thinking about it. She's totally running. Jesse, you said Trump is underwater with non-degree guys. No, that's not what I said. That's what the poll numbers show. And not one or two. This is the trend. I always go with trends because one poll is wrong or dishonest or something like that. You always want to go with what are the trends. The trends are that non-college men without a degree, they were overwhelmingly something to the tune of like 45%. I mean, 45% above normal in Trump's camp. That was true. I mean, that is Trump's foundation. Now he's underwater with them. -2, -3, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you've lost 40 points with one group, it's a really, really big deal. Anyway, this guy says, you say he's underwater with non-degree guys. Would they honestly vote Democrat, which is an opposite vote? Some might vote Democrat. Some might not vote at all. Let me explain, because we forget what a political coalition is and how it is made. Let me explain this again. You and I are political people. You know the news all day long. My show's on at the end of the day. I never once come on here and talk about things that you probably haven't already heard of. Maybe now and then, but for the most part, you know the stories. You want a different perspective on it, maybe laugh a little bit, but you know the stories. You are a political person who pays attention. You know how I worked construction for years? It's what I did. It's what my family did. Well, these guys, I would work with them all day, every day. And we just went to work. We're just doing construction. So how often did they talk about politics? Hardly ever. Would a news story come up? Hey, did you see that lady got run over last week? Hey, did you see we're going to war? Hey, did you see what this, that, would it come up? Of course. I don't remember in all the years I was in the ditch ever one time having a political discussion. They were not really political people. Didn't really pay attention to much at all. Now, why did they step up and form a critical part of the Trump coalition that put him back in the White House? They stepped up and did that because life became unaffordable to them under Joe Biden. Inflation got so bad under Joe Biden, even putting in 50 hours, 60 hours, time and a half, they're not making it anymore. That combined with the fact that Democrats are weirdos, all they can talk about is LGBT, combined with all that, that led them to revolt against the Democrat Party. And then you get Donald Trump, who he likes those guys. And so he'll get out there on the campaign trail and he'll put on a hard hat and he'll go down and talk to the longshoremen and he'll deliver McDonald's to people. And those guys, they didn't become you overnight. They didn't become card-carrying Republicans overnight. They became Trump voters overnight when they're on their way to work in the morning, to go lay concrete. They're not listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. Well, with all due respect, some of them are, and I like that. But they're listening to Joe Rogan. They're listening to those types of non-political podcast types. They're not super newsy guys. They just don't really pay that much attention to politics. That's why Donald Trump sits in the White House. The Donald Trump ads he ran leading up to the election, his debate performance, what was it all about? All of it. Inflation and immigration, inflation and immigration, inflation and immigration. It was all domestic stuff. All about the economy and immigration, the economy and immigration, the economy and immigration. Well, every day now, it's this from the president.
If I had my choice, what would I like to do? Take the oil. Because it's there for the taking. There's not a thing they can do about it. Unfortunately, the American people would like to see us come home.
That and J.D. Vance is in Pakistan. You can say, well, they shouldn't vote Democrat. They might not. They might just sit home. I'm not saying they're going to go vote Democrat. And I'm not saying they should. We can't have Democrats come back to power or things are going to get infinitely worse. But you have to give those guys a reason. Well, Democrats are freaks. I know that. I know that. Don't talk to me about it. I already know. I'm already voting right this November. Unless they pass amnesty, then I may pass straight. Then I may vote straight ticket Democrat. But I'm already voting Republicans. I can already tell you that. I'm voting. I'm going to drag as many people as I can. And you're going to do the same thing. I'm not the one you got to convince. Construction guy in the ditch whose life got unaffordable wanted Donald Trump to win because he wanted his life to be affordable again. And he wanted these immigrants out of the United States of America. That's what he wanted. He wanted his community to stop being dangerous and filthy. He wanted to be able to go down to the public park and not have it overrun with foreign filth. And he wanted to be able to afford a plane ticket again. He doesn't feel like those interests are being served. And that's what I warned about. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Jesse, if Israel wasn't involved in the Iranian problem, would more of our so-called NATO friends be more likely to be involved? Maybe. Remember that Europe is overwhelmingly Islamist now. And so we're going to separate, no matter what. We are going to separate eventually. And I'm sure that had something to do with it. There's no question about it. Jesse, it's hard not to black pill. The whole world is on edge. The commies are waiting to take over. The neocons pushing amnesty. And now Trump's out here yelling at people and calling them names because he's got his feelings hurt. What is going on? A lot of stuff is coming apart on us right now. There's no question. And as I explained earlier, Trump is under an unimaginable amount of stress because he sees things going very poorly at home and he's not quite sure he can get out of what he got himself into. All that is very much true. But if I may, just a couple things. This is from Fox News.
An Examiner reporting new DHS data show last month, zero illegal immigrants released into the United States after being caught at the border. Now, that is down dramatically. Well, of course it would be, from 78,000 released into our nation in March of 2024.
From 78,000 to zero. I understand things are looking rough right now. Got some rough seas ahead. I get it. Let's take a moment and appreciate what we are getting, because it wasn't this way. We're getting this the kind of
and
stuff.
Brett, ICE Director Lyons went on to tell us that ICE has now arrested more than 453,000 criminal aliens. Those are aliens who have been charged with or convicted of a crime since President Trump began his second term in office.
It wasn't very long ago these people were running our immigration system.
Immigrants have a right to live with dignity, to seek a better life for their children, and to have their rights protected. Our nation was built by immigrants. And I will always stand with them.
It's what we had. This is now what we have.
And Brett, ICE Director Lyons went on to tell us that ICE has now arrested more than 453,000 criminal aliens. Those are aliens who have been charged with or convicted of a crime since President Trump began his second term in office.
Jesse, subject to this one is nobody understands my pain. All day, every day, it's about the illegals that need to go. In Iran, fraud stories, murderers being ruled, so on and so forth. Nobody cares about my problem. And I think you will. Jesse, my glorious ice maker has died. It produced the most wonderful, perfect little ice cubes. The only way me as a woman, being all pathetic, could handle ice. The big ice in the freezer is too aggressive for me. I have been without him for 3 days and I am mourning. Please cherish what you have while you have it. Amazon has stopped selling mine, which was expertly plumbed into place by my amazing husband. I don't know what to do. Lady, I'm sorry. I've been there. But now to deliver this hard truth. All ice is temporary. Because you cannot have a product that is at below freezing temperatures at all times and have it last forever. That's not how it works. And it, by the vice versa for something that is superheated. If you have something like a sauna, maybe you're one of these people, you have a sauna in your house. It's 120 degrees. It's 130 degrees. Well, good. I have nothing against the sauna. I'm not pro or anti-sauna. Enjoy the heck out of your sauna. There's going to be a time limit on that. It's, if you keep it heated up at all times, which I realize most people don't, but if you keep it heated up at all times, things aren't made to exist at 130 degrees forever. Doesn't work that way. Things aren't made to exist at 20 degrees, at 15 degrees. You can't do that. All ice makers, all of them are temporary ice makers. What, Chris? You're such a nerd, Chris. Chris said, crack it open and try and fix it. It's already broke. She's a woman. She can't do that. She what, Chris? Oh, you're speaking to her husband? Yeah, that's a good point. Her husband could try. Her husband could try. She has no chance at that. No chance at that. Oh, and one more thing for everybody who's down right now. Get it. Like I said, I've been down myself. Jesse, I spent last Saturday morning at a local GOP breakfast and last night at a Meet the Candidate forum getting to know the candidates. I've let my local GOP know I want to help out. I'm looking into working the polls. As they said, that's an immediate need. I'm doing candidate recon for my church ladies and imploring them to vote in primaries. I never saw myself who would do these kinds of things, but I already feel glad to be involved. Thanks for nudging us to get cracking. Let the bar ease. Her name is Diana, and she believes, and she's doing the right thing. And you know what? She's happier because she's involved. If you're sad and you're black-pilled and everything's the end of the world, get involved. You'll feel better. The subject of this one is you keep blaming Trump for COVID. Please double-check, but I don't think Trump signed an executive order mandating shutting down the country for 15 days. The blue and red states pretty much did what they wanted. Gavin couldn't wait to shut down Disneyland. DeSantis kept Florida open, so on and so forth. So there's that. Yeah, okay.
We're announcing new guidelines for every American to follow over the next 15 days. As we combat the virus, each and every one of us has a critical role to play in stopping the spread and transmission of the virus. We did this today. This was done by a lot of very talented people, some of whom are standing with me.
Come on. Let's not be ignorant of things because we're in love, all right? Jesse, if your doom and gloom... Oh, this one is Smarty Pants. If your doom and gloom prediction is accurate, then why shouldn't... I don't think it's doom and gloom. I'm just giving you reality. It's not your mommy's show. It's your daddy's show. Then why shouldn't Trump throw everything at Iran, including troops, bomb their infrastructure into oblivion, kill 3rd to 20th tier officials, and then take over the country and the oil production? What does he have to lose? Surely we could beat their Revolutionary Guard as easily as we beat the Revolutionary Guard in Iraq. If Trump loses the next election because of such action, then at least he accomplished one great thing for America. For the record, I love your radio and TV show. Listen whenever my wife isn't around. Said his name is David. Iran is a country of 90 million people that's the size of the Western United States of America, brother. You want to conquer it? Now, I'll tell you this, though. In your defense, if what you're selling me is conquest, I'm kind of a conquest guy. I could be talked into that. But why would I want to, if we're going to embark on a war of conquest, why would I want a country that's clear around the globe? You don't conquer lands that are clear around the globe when you don't completely control lands that are right by you. Canada is ripe for the picking. Mexico, what, Chris?
What?
Chris said Canada or Mexico. Yeah, you don't want to fight a two-front war. I would suggest Mexico. I like the food a little better. Strategically, we give it. I just like where Mexico is a little bit better. Oil, great oil products there. I know Canada has some too, but politically, Donald Trump cannot send in all the troops and declare World War III on Iran. It's not possible. Republicans would impeach him. It's not possible. Okay? It's not possible. Plus, it would mean handing over the entire government, including the White House, to these people.
Immigrants have a right to live with dignity, to seek a better life for their children, and to have their rights protected. Our nation was built by immigrants, and I will always stand with them.
Oof. Try some relief factor for your pain. Do you have this pain that nags at you? Pain that holds you back? Stop sucking it up. Stop just living with it when Relief Factor is right there to make it better. Relief Factor was developed by doctors, but it uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. What do? They support your body's natural response to inflammation. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor. Almost 70% call them back and say, give me more. They sell you 3 weeks of it. It's $19.95. And by the way, I'm glad you love their customer service. They are freaking wonderful. If you have questions, they'll answer those as well. A supplement, drug-free. Just try it. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show before we check out of here on a Friday, but we shall return on Monday. Remember to pray, take time and pray this weekend. We want these negotiations to be good and successful. We want a success here. Pray, and somehow, some way that we can get things wrapped up. Jesse, the last few days I keep hearing about how no man is left behind, and all I can think about is Benghazi and how our men waited for help that never showed up. I guess I should be happy they finally came and got their bodies. Who accepts responsibility? Nope. This is what happens when you elect America-hating Democrats. I don't have another way to put it. It's why that story has stuck with so many people, including me, that we would just, because of politics, that we would just leave our guys behind. And I have a book that I've recommended to you before. If you want a perspective on Benghazi that might make you mad, well, I take that back. It's going to make you mad. But a perspective on Benghazi specifically that you have never heard of before, go pick up the book Zero Footprint. The book is called Zero Footprint. Zero Footprint is the name of the book. That way you don't email me asking me again. You'll learn a lot, I'll tell you that much. Our government, led by Democrats at that time, was complete and utter scum. Hey, Jesse, I've recently returned to the church that I used to attend when I was a kid. I hadn't been to church since I was a child. To my dismay, the preacher, I found out later, was a new hire. He was a former Muslim that converted to Christianity. I haven't returned since. Is it wrong for me to be skeptical about returning to that church? It says his name is Mike, and I can say his name. Brother, are you aware of who wrote many of the books of the New Testament? His name is Paul. That was his new name because his old name was Saul, and Saul spent his time butchering Christians and then went on to be one of the great figures in the Bible. A former Muslim that is converted, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Yeah, that's a good point, Chris. Look, it's okay to be skeptical, right? If he rolls out the prayer rug, now you got a problem, right? But it's a good thing, not a bad thing. Super sure is a good thing, too. Because you know what's a bad thing? When you're trying to run a business and you have to have multiple insurance policies and you have multiple brokers and multiple applications. And then they don't ever even do an assessment on your business. They just have these blanket policies. Business your size, I'll have this. But then you're overinsured on things. Oh, you think that's bad? You're paying for things you don't need? You're also underinsured on these things. And you have to deal with Tom over here and then Peggy over here. No more of that. Super Sure is one broker. They take care of it all. They've changed everything. They have a whole team. They'll handle every policy. They'll get you the right policy you need. They'll let you know, by the way, do I need to know? No obligation. They'll give you a full report on your current policies. Full report. They'll let you know. Overinsured, underinsured, just right, somewhere in between. Go to Super Sure. SuperSure.com, one super agency. You never have to deal with multiple people, multiple policies. You don't have to deal with that ever again. They make it easy so you can go back to running your business the way you want to. All your policies in one place. SuperSure.com. That's SuperSure.com. Paid for by SuperSure Insurance Agency, LLC, a licensed insurance agency.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Menu Whisper. Us Christians should take a page out of the LGBTQ playbook. We should declare National Pork Month during Ramadan and so on and so forth. Okay, look, I'm fine with these little political stunts, but you don't have to do any of that if you mind the imports. You don't like this headline. DHS to deport Haitian national accused of killing a woman at the Florida gas station. Oh, so soon? We're now getting to the deportation point. You don't have to worry about a woman getting butchered at a gas station. You don't have to worry about deporting him if you never allow him in here to begin with. Hey, Jesse, what's your take on Trump slamming the influencers that stood behind him? I mean, I voted for him 6 times, so on and so forth. But this is not me defending him. It's just me explaining things. Donald Trump is in an unimaginable amount of stress because he's watching the remaining years of his presidency potentially disappear because we are stuck clear around the globe doing something that independents despise and the working class hates. He needs to get out. He doesn't know if he can get out. Anyone now who criticizes it, he's going to lash out at. Take it or leave it. Trump is a junkyard dog, as I've told you a million times before. You love that junkyard dog when he eats the robber who's trying to steal your stuff and murder you. You hate the junkyard dog when he eats the mailman and the Girl Scouts trying to sell you some cookies. Trump is that guy. He doesn't take criticism well, and he's stressed beyond belief right now. Have you seen him recently? Trump never looks like this. He looks tired. He looks like he's burning a candle at both ends, if you will. Jesse, talking to a new work colleague today, he started giving me clues over the last month as to who he is, other than a 58-year-old father and grandfather. He said he has a therapist and goes to an annual retreat with the group. Oh, my gosh. A therapist that goes to an annual? Anyway, I asked him if he's going to Easter service. He hesitatingly said no and blamed Trump and his supporters for wanting him to stay away from church. Yeah, you know exactly what you've got on your hands, buddy. You have a godless commie savage who works with you. All that means is you have to keep in mind that he is a very, very religious man, and it ain't yours. And he's going to get you somehow, some way, if he can. This is how they all work. Jesse, wondering if you could give a radio shout-out to my son. He's 14, plays tennis for his junior high. At a meet this week, he's sitting in the bleachers with his team waiting for the game to start. National anthem starts from the speakers at a nearby baseball field. I, of course, cover my hand over my heart, gave the flag my attention. I was on the other side of the courts. Halfway through the anthem, I glance at my son, who I didn't know I could see him, and he's standing in a group of teammates and coaches, hand over heart at attention, the only person in the entire bleachers doing it. I know you raise your teenage boys the same way. It made me so proud to see him love his country, not giving a crap who was going to love it or with him or who was thinking of him. His name is Brock. We listen to your show, and it would mean something to him if you gave him a shout-out. Brock, well done, young man. Well done. Very proud of you. Jesse, I know it won't ever happen, but in a hypothetical situation where the U.S. got a hunger for conquest, could they take over all of Latin and South America and hold it, or is it too big of an area to maintain control over? He says, thanks, his name is Michael. Way too big to control it. You would have to have the peoples of those areas buying in, wanting you there, and supporting you. Otherwise, it's way too big. We wouldn't even be familiar with the territory. Yeah, we'd go down there and kill a bunch of people. Way too big. The lessons of conquest tell you you can't do that. It doesn't work. It's never worked. Go enjoy your weekend. We'll reconvene on Monday. That's all.